Let's go to Mark 11. If you remember, Jesus used, he cursed a fig tree in verse 12 through 14. Then he cleaned the temple. And then they're walking back to where he cursed the fig tree. In verse 20, it says, "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." What kind of statement is that? But it doesn't say have faith in God. It says have the faith of God. Well, that's an incredible statement. Have the faith of God. And then he goes on the infamous or famous statement, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, you shall have whatever you saith. Not what he saith, not what... Now, when you were 3 years old, or first time you started to talk, you would have thought that the idea of reading was impossible. You could never read. It just looked like a bunch of jumbled letters. Or before you could talk very well, the idea of talking would have seemed impossible. The idea that, for me, the idea that I would have reached a point in life in which there is nothing that I would want to do seems impossible. I mean, not, you know, no place... No place I'd want to be, or no, you know, nothing else I'd like to do. And so the idea that whatsoever thing you say seems as impossible as any of the things that we thought of that we could never achieve as a child. But I'm here to tell you, whatsoever things you say shall be done for you. Now that's, can anybody understand that? Can anybody believe it? Can anybody believe that's possible?
I don't know if this is a good example, because I might be influenced by my religious science thing that I go to every Sunday, but when I had 20 students, I said I needed 30, and then I got 30. And when I had 30, I said I needed 40, and then I got 40.
Yeah, that's okay. But think of it. When you say this, let's really talk about what our mind does. If I or the scriptures say to you, whatsoever thing you say shall be done for you, what goes on in your head?
You go back and see what's ever happened in the past, and you think, well, I don't know about this.
I hear blah 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 blah. I mean, just there's a part of me that goes, well, I guess that may be true. I mean, it's possible that that's true, but it doesn't seem to be true for me, and I don't get it.
Well, does anybody ever think about, like, what would I say if I believe that? If I believed whatsoever I say shall be done for me by my Father which is in heaven, what would I say? You don't think that?
I don't think so. But, I mean, just now I thought, okay, there's more subscribers to the door. Now I'm going to go back and look and see if it's plugged in. And then I see other things. I see amazing things happen, but I don't see evidence that what I say happens.
That's because you don't believe it. Right? Because it says if you doubt, then you're double-minded.
Sounds like, you know, if you have a positive thinking.
Yeah, I
know. It's like, you know, if I really believe this,
but they don't believe it. They just talk about it. All right, let's look and see what the next verse is. It's interesting. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, in the scriptures, remember when we say this, anything, any place, any situation. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So one thing that interferes with whatsoever you say is that there's some situation or circumstance or person or something that you haven't forgiven. And you remember, you haven't forgiven means you haven't appreciated it. Well, that's a biggie. Because if you see correctly, then you see that, as we've said so often, then you see that there is every single thing that ever happened to you was necessary so you could get to this point spiritually. And so you're no longer looking at your life from your own perspective. You're looking at it from God's. All right, let's look at a couple others. Where are we? Let's go to Matthew 17. This is where the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. And so now they're coming back, and then Jesus did it, and now they're coming back to Jesus and saying, how come we couldn't do it? And verse 20 is what it says. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, you've heard me talk about this before, but you see people using the grain of mustard seed example, and they, in fact, there's a Christian booksellers and bookstores and stuff. They have a little mustard seed that's encased in a plastic thing, and they wear it around their neck to remind them that if they have the faith of that, just that little bit of faith. Well, the issue is, it's not the size of the mustard seed. It's the fact that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. Now, do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are?
I'm just thinking a lot about that. We were talking about prophesying yesterday, that prophecy comes, I mean, it's unguarded. Somehow there's you get you in the equation. There's
prophecy. So my question is very simple. Do you know who you are? And it's obvious to me that for the most of the time, you don't know who you are. You forget that you are dead. That's not optional. It's not something you're going to choose to do. You are dead. You're not going to make a decision to be dead. I mean, is there some part of you down deep that really knows that you've been deceived your entire lives? This was shocking to me when I realized that I had been deceived for my entire life, that all my wants and desires and all my concerns about what I was going to do or not do, career, was all a deception. Even my very identity was a deception.
When I first heard you say that, I did not believe
it. It's a biggie.
I cannot deceive myself. But you know, over the years, the whole lot of evidence.
You know, I was just thinking about that because I was thinking about whatever you say shall be done for you, and why don't I believe that, or why don't I do that, or whatever. And this is, see, I don't really think about that very much because I do believe what you just said, and I have come to see that the things that I would choose are the wrong things, and the things that I would want are the wrong things to want, and it's like, I don't really think about that very much anymore. If I do start to think about it, I get weird. But my normal state is I really don't think about what I would speak into existence or any of that stuff. The last example, I think, for me is about a week ago. I'd been listening to Bible study for several days, and I said here and I said in nighttime that I had come to the conclusion that what the scriptures were saying, God was saying, was if you need something, just sit in your door and wait, and I'll send a truck and drop off whatever you need. And I said that, and I believed it, and I still believe it, and from then till now, I see that that is true and is happening. It's being done. But the other stuff, I don't want to think about whether I want a car or...
We're not talking about cars. That's not what this is about.
Now, I do believe God meets me. I believe that.
Yeah, but so do the demons. What I'm trying to, this whole last few days and probably for up until Passover, I'm trying to put us into a new dimension, which is really the old dimension, where there is a way of thinking and a way of being that has completely divorced the old, that you have literally cast out the bondwoman and her son, which is you. So that you can begin to look at life as God does. So you can confess. Remember, confess, homologio, speak the same thing. So you can confess, really confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean to say he exists. It means to say you don't exist. I am crucified with Christ. Paul says, all men were crucified. All men died. And the scriptures are clear. Since that date, the human race has been deceived. Everybody in the human race has been deceived by this one called Satan. He has deceived the entire world. Now, does anybody doubt that? Now, if he's deceived the entire world, what, are you the only exception? There has to be a radical new way of looking at life. And that radical way of looking at life is to look from the top down instead of the bottom up. To know with everything in you that you are crucified with Christ, but nevertheless you live. But not you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. And the life you are now living in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, which is the faith of God. Remember the scripture that we just read earlier. Have the faith of God. So you're back to the basics. abandon yourself, pick up your cross, and you will follow him. But the longer we go on this trip, the more that means and the deeper that goes. What God wants from us is not to have, you know, whatsoever is not of, he that doubteth is damned, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, the long suffering of God, you know, when we're in that position of innocently saying, well, I don't know what I want to do, I don't know about this, that's doubt. If he came at that moment, there would be a spot on the garment. Can you hear me? And that's what produces the fear of God. And the fear of God produces wisdom. And wisdom produces zeal. And zeal produces a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding of the mystery. So that you've totally and completely divorced everything about you.
Self-seeking, everything I said was going to try to enhance the way I was, my appearance in somebody else's eyes, and yet God was, knowing that God was faithful, still, in spite of that, and I forget that.
Remembering that is fine for about an instant. But if you dwell on that, then there is no abandonment of self. And if that becomes your mantra, then there's not... I mean, you cannot... It's not positive or negative. It's no. It's nothing. It's no you. It's not, well, I'm really bad, or I think I'm good, or I've got these good. It's nothing about you. Take no thought of or about or for you or yours in any dimension. Zero thought. No, in order to get there, in order to be able to accept the cross, in order to be able to accept your death, in order to be able to be baptized, if you understand that baptism means being buried, you must understand that you are the chief of sinners. And therefore, because you know that, and because you know that the evil one constantly tries to resurrect himself, then you know that you can never again give any credence, not positive or negative, to this thing. Is that clear? Take no thought. Take no thought.
It's not only clear, it's wonderful news.
Okay, let's now move on. Forgetting or neglecting those things that are behind, let's press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that. Go to Philippians. You going to find it today? It wasn't Philippians that you lost. It was Colossians. No, it was Colossians. It wasn't in your Bible. We can check the tape if you want to. Huh?
I witnessed that, brother.
Chapter 3, verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, or better translation is neglecting, those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, and the word perfect is the Greek word teleos, and it just means fully tested. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. That's an incredibly arrogant thing to say. Let's forget, let's neglect everything that's behind. And let's press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's forget any form, including cliches or words or any other form that the way you think something should be in your mind, because many of you have just put Christian ideas on that pillar. And still, there's no humility. There's no emptying of self. Not feeling morbid or not feeling anything about you. Consider him who we have dealings with, and never forget that. Amen? I don't feel like talking anymore. Can I quit now, Justin? Thank you. I did go over yesterday. So, anybody have any response or thoughts? All righty, take a big guy.